to you. My scripture reading is in the book of James. And James 2, and let's start at the 14th verse. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that we can come to this beautiful sanctuary and praise and worship you, glorify you for the things that you are doing and the things that you have done in the past, for sustaining us and keeping us, for delivering us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless these words and the thoughts that we express. Help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. And amen. My text is in the book of Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts, verse 20, and starting with 18. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. My message to you today is faith that saves. Faith that saves. It's part of the salvation plan. The message today is to be taken along with salvation, baptism, the things that should happen within a person's heart and life as they become newborn babes in Christ, newly Christians, the faith that is working within them, the faith that brought them into being saved, that brought in them into being a child of God. When we speak of this faith that saves, we speak of quality faith, not quantity. The type of faith that we have. What happens within us when this faith develops within us? The faith of our scripture and text is more than just an intellectual acceptance of the existence of an all-powerful Creator God. James 2:19. Let's go there and read what James says in the book of James 2:19. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Is believing enough to have that faith that produces that change that I'm speaking of? That faith that is a saving faith? That faith that is and has quality dimensions to it? Godly producing characteristics with it. The devils believe also, but they're not saved. They are destined for hell. Believing is not enough. The devils also believe and shudder or tremble. It is more than believing all that the Bible teaches. This faith that saves. There is a man in the New Testament that is spoken of shortly after Pentecost Day. And this man believed. But was it the right kind of belief? This man wanted certain things that he seen that transpired during that time of Pentecost and shortly after. But as we read, things were all not quite right with this person that supposedly came to God. Let's go to Acts 8 and 13. And we're speaking of Simon the sorcerer. And even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. He had certain powers, and he performed these powers in front of the people. And of course, they were amazed at some of the things that he could do, not from the power of God. And so when he seen these miracles performed and these wonders done, naturally he was curious. He wanted this power for himself. But things was not all good and right in the heart of this Simon. Let's go to Acts 8 and 21. And the disciple says to Simon, "You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God." In verse 23, "For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." What had happened was that Simon the sorcerer had tried to purchase with money the ability to perform these miracles and wonders. He thought that it could be bought. The powers of the disciples under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit doing signs and wonders and miracles. But his heart was not right. It was not his belief, and his faith was not the right kind of faith. The substance was not there. James says of a faith that produces no fruit. Let's go to James 2 and 14 and see what James says of this faith that is superficial, that doesn't have substance, doesn't have the quality of truly being a saving faith. James says in James 2:14, "What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him?" That's a good question. Does your faith, is it going to save you? Is it a saving faith? What is a faith that does save? A faith that saves is a faith that responds to the gospel. And the gospel is that word of God that produces the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that gospel is the good news of a living and loving God who has a wonderful plan for each one of our lives. And it's not a temporary plan. It's not a narrow plan. It's a plan that is eternal, never to end. It's connected with you and I, if we are connected with to Him in that saving faith. Never to end, with Him as part of His kingdom, as a member of His family. If we are a Christian, we are a child of God. We are a member of God's personal family. We are a son and daughter of His as we have that saving faith. Secondly, Jesus came to pay the price for our failures. We're speaking of the gospel and responding to that gospel as being part of a faith that saves. Hearing the good news of the gospel, knowing of God's plan, responding to it, knowing that Jesus came to pay the price for our sins and for our failures. And Jesus died for our sins and shortcomings. He died, He paid the penalty. And that's not all. He died, but He rose again. And that is all important. That is where eternal comes in. Jesus made the heavenly transformation from flesh to spirit, from human to spirit being. Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, now preparing our homes in heaven. They're actually called in the King James Version much more than just dwelling places or homes. It's said that Jesus is preparing mansions. I think the usage of that word is to illustrate, try to convey that it's going to be a place of more beauty and majesty and more wonderful than any of us could ever in our imaginations and our thoughts and our dreams than we could ever visualize. We couldn't conceive of the things that God has in store for us and the beauty and the wonder of it all. And Jesus is now at the right hand of God the Father. He is there as high priest, there as an intercessory between us and the Father God. He is there on our behalf, representing us to the Father. And Jesus Christ has went through that transformation, and He is soon to come again. And we are soon to make that transformation also. Christ is spoken of as the first fruits, the first to go through that transformation from human to spirit. But at the time that He comes back again, we will make that same transformation, that same change that Jesus Christ went through. We will go through. And once we make that change, we will go into eternity. We will be with God and Jesus Christ, His Son, forever and ever and ever. He is soon to return for us. A faith that saves is a faith that responds to this wonderful plan of God. And secondly, a faith that saves is a faith that surrenders all. You know, that's what it means when it says that He is to be our Lord and as well as Savior, our Lord, our Master, the one in who we yield our will to, our will and wants become secondary. And what God's wills for us and has in store for us and wanting us to use our gifts that He has given us in order to accomplish the plans that He has, not only for us, but from the work that He does through us. He can only do that work as we yield to Him, as we accept Him and allow Him to work within us. He does not force us. He will not force us to accept Him. He will not force us to do His will. He will not force us to accept the gifts that He has given us and use the gifts as a servant of His to bring others to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to allow them that chance of being part of His kingdom. He will not force that on us or anyone. He didn't even force the angels themselves, His created heavenly beings that was right there with Him and around Him. He didn't even force them to do His will. They had freedom of choice, just like we do. They could reject, they could rebel, and a third of them did, along with the devil. A third of them rebel against God Almighty in heaven. We have the same choice. We can accept, we can reject. We can surrender, or we can just go right on with our own selfish way, pushing our own plans and our agendas rather than God's plans, God's ways, God's paths. He wants us to have the faith that saves. And the faith that saves is one that works within God's plans, God's agendas. A faith that surrenders all. Let's go to Acts 9 and verse 5. And this is Paul. And this is right after Paul had been persecuting the earliest of the Christians and the first Christian church. Paul, the same Paul that wrote much of this New Testament. This is that Paul. And this is right around the time of the first church. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do." We are speaking of surrendering. We are speaking of recognizing the call of God on our hearts and lives. And when we recognize that call and we answer the call, it involves surrendering. Surrendering our will to His. Just as Paul. Paul seen that light as he was journeying to Damascus. And he was going there to Damascus to try to arrest and bring back to Jerusalem more Christians, more followers of Christ Jesus. But the light from heaven struck down Paul. It was an attention getter. And it got Paul's attention. And Paul knew that it was from God. It was miraculous. And that's where Paul said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And by those words, he was indicating he accepted the Lord's call on his life. And he was surrendering all. Acts 9, 5, and then we go to 6. And I read that, "But arise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus." Let's go to Romans 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. And we read the words that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Do you see how salvation comes? You hear the Word of God. You hear about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of the plan of God. And you believe this with all your heart and soul. You accept Jesus Christ. You accept that God not only brought him into this earth as human, but that he also raised him from the dead and carried him into heaven. If you believe this, you shall be saved. It involves believing and it involves confessing. Confessing that Jesus is your Lord. That you believe what you have heard. That you're going to follow what Jesus has for you to do. A faith that saves is a faith that stops sinful habits. When you have the right kind of faith, you don't continue as you were. It is as if you have been born again, the rebirth. As you are born again, you grow each day of your life. And you not only grow bigger and stronger, but you grow in the knowledge of the Lord. You grow closer and closer to what God would have you to be. And as I've said before, many times you grow less like yourself, your natural self. You become less of yourself. You become more of God. You take on more of godly characteristics. Your conversation changes. What you do and don't do changes. What you consider important and unimportant changes. The effect that others have on you hopefully changes. You learn how to not react negatively to ones that has ungodly characteristics. You have to make choices. Some of these choices involve changing friends, changing those associates, because the wrong associates cause us to do wrong things. They lead us astray down the wrong path. And therefore the choices that we make after we accept Jesus Christ and have that faith that saves, it involves leaving some that we've known for a long time. The faith that saves leads to stopping sinful habits. A faith that saves is a faith that serves. The life of a Christian is not just a life of bed and roses. It's not just a life of rest and relaxation. God expects work. God expects service. Jesus Christ Himself, when He came to this earth, He did not come to this earth to be King of Kings at that time. He did not come to be served, in other words. But He came to serve. He came to heal broken hearts. And He came to do the miracles that we read about. He came to show love. He came to show mercy. Let's go to James 2:14. Part of our scripture reading, James 2:14. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him if he has no works? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Faith has to have action with it. Faith has to produce fruits. Faith without works is dead. God expects us to do works. God expects us to bear fruits for Him. And part of that is just simply speaking to others about God, doing what you can to lead them to Christ and to the better way. Let's go to Ephesians 2 and 10. Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are people that think that works are not necessary, that we don't have to do works. And for sure, we're not saying that you're saved by works. You're saved by the mercy and grace of God, by calling on Him for forgiveness. You're saved. But God expects more. Changes has to be made. The rebirth is taking place. Each day of our life, we should be growing closer to Him, learning things that God wants us to do and doing them. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. And we should walk in them. Let's go to Titus 2 and 14. Titus 2 and 14. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. The right kind of saving faith is that faith that produces in us a zeal to go out and do good things for God, to bring others to Him. A faith that saves is, lastly, a faith that within us satisfies. That's very important. Because a lot of us has not reached that point in our life in which we feel satisfied. There's still something vastly missing in our heart and lives. And we've just not come to the point yet that we realize what it is. But the faith that saves is a faith that within us satisfies. And that I'm speaking of is that within us that we realize there's a lack of fulfillment within our life. There is a void. There is something missing. We don't know what it is, but there's something missing and we're not satisfied. We don't feel complete. We don't feel fulfilled. And I'm saying to you this morning that it is getting to the point that we have that faith that saves, that we have a closeness with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the love that comes from our Father God. And when we respond to that gospel, that Word of God, when we surrender all, when we start dropping sinful habits, when we realize that we must serve, and when we accept God to the point that we can now feel fulfilled and satisfied, then we have that faith that saves. Let's all pray to God that we grow closer to Him, and that we reach that point of faith that I'm speaking of. Stand with me in prayer.